In the midst of graduation season, we often think about what are the futures of those graduates. Maybe we go and recall when we ourselves were graduating and how we were looking forward to that future. Recently, I was having a talk with a college graduate that I knew from a study abroad program in Rome, and the conversation went along these lines. I started out asking them what they wanted to do after college. And they responded very simply, if I want to get a job, I want to start working. And so then I asked them, well, what do you want to do with that? What do you want to do after that? And he said, well, I want to make money, and that way I can establish myself and begin to live my life. And I said, well, after you go and establish yourself, you know, have that money, what then? And he said, well, I want to have a house, and then I want to get married and all. And I said, okay, great. What about after that? And then he said, well, I'll have a family, and I'll raise my kids. And, you know, eventually they'll grow up and everything. It'll be great. And I said, okay, well, what about after that? And then they went and said, well, I'll retire and enjoy retirement. And that'll be that. You know, that'll be my life. And I said, well, what about after that? Will you die? And then they paused. And they looked at me and they said, well, yeah, I will die. You're right. And hopefully I'll go to heaven too. That really, if you think about it, we are so busy doing things, achieving, making progress, that we can forget what life is all about. Preparing to meet God in heaven. That's what happened with this student. That they forgot that the entire point of our life here on earth is to prepare to meet God in heaven. That the ascension of Jesus reminds us that during our lives, we are only passing through on this earth. We are pilgrims on a journey. That just as Jesus' earthly life was temporary, and he ascended to sit at the right hand of the Father, so are also our lives here temporary. That they will come to an end, and we will meet God in the next life. The ascension of Jesus reminds us, in all of our busyness, not to forget what life is all about. That we can think of that conversation I had with that graduate. We have to ask ourselves, what will we do next? That student had an answer for everything, but didn't remember to think about dying and what would then happen. That we know the passion, death, and resurrection of Jesus are necessary for our salvation. But what about Jesus' ascension? The ascension of Jesus is also a necessary part of our salvation. The Jesus in John's gospel says to his disciples, when I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you also may be. So Jesus' ascension is Jesus going to heaven to prepare a place for us. That Jesus said that if he did not ascend, the Holy Spirit would not come. He goes and says, I tell you the truth, it is your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Counselor, a.k.a. the Holy Spirit, will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. That after Jesus' ascension, he is interceding for us before the Father in heaven forever. That in the Old Testament, in the Old Covenant, the high priest entered the Holy of Holies into the temple, into that sacred place, God's dwelling place there in Jerusalem, once a year to sprinkle blood, to ask God for forgiveness of sins. But Christ in this new covenant, the eternal covenant that he has established, he is there forever in the Holy of Holies, in heaven, interceding continually for us before God, asking for that forgiveness of sins to be continued to give to us by the virtue of his passion, death, and resurrection. That Jesus' ascension is necessary for our salvation, just like his passion, death, and resurrection. That we can think over this journey of Easter season. A number of times in the scriptures, we see that Jesus' body was different after his resurrection. So different that although he ate food and drank, that his wounds could be seen, his own disciples often did not recognize him. We can think there were the two disciples on the road to Emmaus who did not recognize Jesus. Or we can think of Mary Magdalene, who did not recognize our Lord outside the tomb. Or that when some of the apostles were fishing and Jesus stood on the shore, they did not at first recognize him. That Jesus had to ascend to heaven because he has an immortal, glorious body. That's why he was so different and unrecognizable after the resurrection. That it's because of his immortal body that he now ascends to heaven. He can die no more. And the world is not the dwelling place for an immortal body. Only heaven is the dwelling place for an immortal body. That we received a share of that when we were baptized. That we are not destined for just simply this life here on earth. That by that share we received in our baptism, we are destined for something greater. We are destined for heaven. You can think, we can look in ourselves in about three different ways. First, you can think what you think of yourself. Second, what others think of you. And third, what God thinks of you. The most important is what God thinks of you. What does God think of you? God looks on you as a son and daughter since you were baptized. Then may God our Father enlighten your eyes so that you can see what hope his call holds for you. That we may want that perfect house, that perfect car, all that money, all that wealth, to be able to have that comfortable life. That what we want is the best of everything. But in fact, the best that awaits us is the next life, is heaven itself. Because God has planned the very best for us, has promised us that great reward if we live out the life of the sacraments, live out that life of holiness that he has called each and every one of us to. That Jesus' ascension reminds us of who we are. That is nothing compared to what we will be in the future. That we are beloved children of God. That it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him. And we shall see him as he is. That not only does Jesus' ascension remind us of the glorious future for ourselves, but it also reminds us to look on everyone else differently. The disciples seeing Jesus in a different way after his resurrection reminds us that in the next life, we too will all be different with our own glorious bodies, with the second coming of Christ, that we will receive those resurrected bodies. That St. Paul wrote, "From now on, therefore, we regard no one from a human point of view. Even though we once regarded Christ from a human point of view, we regard him thus no longer." And we can think, we were shocked at what Judas did in the gospel. We are also shocked by some of the disciples at Jesus' ascension in our first reading today. That Judas allowed himself to be corrupted by the devil, wanting a worldly kingdom. Now, instead of the kingdom of God proclaimed by Jesus. That we're shocked that some of the disciples at Jesus' ascension still questioned if Jesus was going to give them an earthly kingdom now, even after having spent 40 days with him, receiving that fullness of revelation, understanding what the passion and resurrection were all about. That Luke doesn't tell us if they were corrupted by the devil like Judas was, but they certainly had a false understanding of Jesus, what he was about. It's a reminder to us to be aware that no matter who we are, the devil is never far away, and we always need to stay close to Jesus in prayer. That we read in the Acts that after Jesus ascended, that the apostles returned to the upper room, and there they remained in prayers with the disciples and the women, including Mary, the mother of Jesus, that we could say that it was the first novena being prayed, that they were praying for the coming of the Holy Spirit as Jesus had told them to do. This reminds us of the importance of prayer. That a day without prayer is a day without Christ. That if we do not have that daily contact with Christ through prayer, we have to wonder, can we really call ourselves Christians or followers of Christ? Do we not think often enough of the importance of prayer? That we need to think our bodies need air to breathe. In the same way, we need to pray. We need that time to pray with Christ every day. That if we stop breathing, we die. If we stop praying, we die spiritually and become just walking corpses. That if at the first prayer is difficult, don't give up. Continue to pray until it becomes a joy for you. There are many ways that we can pray. That we need to search, find that way to pray. Whether it's in adoration, saying the rosary, the Divine Mercy Chaplet, different novenas. There are so many ways that can bring us into intimate contact with God every day. That we need to have this conversation, this personal relationship with God every day. We can start out doing it 5 minutes, 10 minutes. And I'm convinced that God desires us to spend a substantial amount of time in prayer with Him every day. And it's all the more necessary in the world that we live in, that we do not become corrupted by what is around us, like some of the disciples in the first reading today. Therefore, prayer means withdrawing from the world, turning off the TV, turning off the social media, our cell phones, instead giving time to God. And if at all possible, pray together as a family. The praying together is the most beautiful thing a family can do. That there's nothing more beautiful than you can do than pray together. That you can go, when you go out, eat together at meals. Say grace before meals. Say those prayers together. That we live out that example, that beautiful relationship with God that way. That between the Ascension and Pentecost, the apostles, with those women, with those disciples, were like a big family praying together. That if they needed to pray, how much more do we need to pray today? That we need to remember that well-known saying, the family that prays together stays together. That like Jesus' passion, death, and resurrection, His ascension is also necessary for our salvation. To prepare a place for us and send us the Holy Spirit to guide us in that relationship with God. This immortal body could no longer dwell here on earth, reminding us that we are now destined for something greater by our baptism. That between Jesus' ascension and Pentecost, the apostles spent time praying together as a family. That if they pray together, we need to pray together. That the family that prays together stays together.